Welcome back, everybody, to the From the Stance podcast. I'm Alec Wojcik here with Alex Rodriguez, and it's
Yes,
been
sir.
another long time since we did it. I'm not going to go too into detail, because we say it every single time, that we take a long period break where we just aren't doing podcasts, and we say, oh, it's our fault. Life got in the way. That's all you need to know. Life got in the way. Yeah, I moved and stuff. So,
You did. Welcome to San Antonio, Texas.
For all of our
listeners, Alec Wojcik is currently living in somewhat central San Antonio.
All right, bro. You don't need to go into detail about where I live and stuff. Okay. I mean,
what highway is it again?
Guys, man. It's been a hectic, past couple of weeks, personally, but really mentally, just by watching my team play. And, that's how we're going to start this off. Just, just a brief
We were starting with USMS national team.
I know we are, but I just want to say my team sucks. FC Dallas sucks. That's how it's starting out. That's how it's starting out the whole thing. But, yes, the USMS national team is coming up. We play, I believe it's Colombia and Brazil in the upcoming. Is it Colombia?
Yes.
Yeah, don't go all laughing at me, bro.
Your face, bro.
I'm just the setup is camera here, you over here on the screen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's continue on the podcast, man. We got to get through this stuff, right? Uh-huh. A lot of important topics to talk about. Colombia and Brazil, we're playing against them. They released the roster for these upcoming friendlies ahead of the Copa America and also mm-hmm. the Olympics that are going to be happening later on this summer. But I did want to go over some notable news so far just from the U.S. men's national team player standpoint. Tesman and Busi are back in Serie A after getting promoted with Venice. They've been in Serie B for the past 2 years after getting mm-hmm. relegated, mm-hmm. I believe, in their first season that they were there. So more and more American players are playing in the top flight of Italy, which is great, even though one of them might leave. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Alex, or not, but Weston McKennie is linked with the move to Aston Villa.
Yes, he is. And what's your source?
I don't know. I just go on Twitter, man.
USMNT only.
The goats. Anyway, but yeah, Weston McKennie, who's been the standout midfielder for Juventus this season, one of his best seasons to date, after that disastrous spell at Leeds United that I'm still very, very pissed about, that everybody went and hyped up. Yeah, he's linked with a move back to the Premier League. Aston Villa are doing way better than they have in the past, though.
Yes,
so
they're now going to be in the Champions League, right?
They're going to be in the Champions League, so it wouldn't be the most terrible move in the world if he wanted to go. He'd still be playing Premier League soccer and also in the Champions League. But it's just interesting to me. He's going from playing a vital role for Juventus this season, and now he's getting linked to a switch to Aston Villa in a swap. Douglas Luiz will go to Juventus, and McKennie will go to Aston Villa, but it's kind of weird. McKennie is apparently worth around 30 million euros, and then Douglas Luiz is around 60. So, obviously, I think Juventus would need to make that up somehow, but it's just a weird little transfer. I don't feel like you don't see a lot of swap deals anymore.
No, it's not common anymore, but I feel like at the same time, as you mentioned, Juventus has to make up the sum of money that they would be potentially, all that sort of stuff going on. I personally don't think it's a good move to go to Leeds or to Aston Villa, considering what happened at Leeds. I don't know how you feel. I feel like every time we disagree, you somehow come out on top. So I'm curious to see what you're thinking of it.
I don't want him to go to the Premier League. I'll just be flat out honest.
Yeah,
Americans do not do very well in the Premier League. Besides Anthony Robinson, he's in the championship and he's going to be there another season. Tim Ream, Anthony Robinson. I feel like I don't know. I feel like it's different for either goalkeepers or defenders. When it comes to midfielders and attackers, like we saw Christian Pulisic at Chelsea, he had his bright spots. Obviously, he had some good seasons, but the past few ones that he's had at Chelsea have just been terrible. He's been on the bench most of the time. Do I think he would be good under Unai Emery? Possibly, but at the same time, I don't know. It's just Americans in the Premier League, something just doesn't sit right. Do I think they aren't good enough? No, that's not it. It's just that performance wise, I haven't seen an American truly excel in the Premier League for me to be like, yes, they need to go to these clubs and all such things. But he's going to Aston Villa. It's not like he's going to Chelsea, Man United, like all these other teams that, you know, there's a lot more spotlight on them. Yeah, I don't know. Personally, I feel like it could be a decent move, but I'd rather him stay at Juventus and play in Serie A.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only difference is that Allegri is going to be leaving Juventus, so that might be a big you know, thinking point behind Juventus's you know, next roster. So you know, we'll see where he goes next. So I'm excited for him though to continue playing at the top flight.
Christian Pulisic, however, had one of his best seasons to date. Like, yep. It's one of the best ones. We've needed this from Christian to have a successful club season. I mean, he always performs for the national team. I've never been in doubt with him ever whenever he stepped on the field for us. But AC Milan have departed with their head coach. They're bringing in a new one. So that kind of just makes me question a little bit how he's going to do this season. Because Christian has been through so many head coaches in his time, like so far.
Well, mostly from Chelsea, you know.
Mostly at Chelsea because, you know, Chelsea is just a disaster, you know, over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had Frank Lampard. I don't even know all the head coaches because there's been so many.
Yeah.
There's been a ridiculous amount of them over there. Yeah. It just sucks again that Christian Pulisic has to go through another head coaching change. And who knows what's going to happen to him this season. I mean, he played great. I think he was on the short list for like player of the year, or he's in the team of the year or something like that for Serie A. So I feel like it shouldn't be too, you know, a head scratcher for the new head coach to play Christian Pulisic. But hey, man.
I don't know. I mean, there's a biased opinion, though. I mean, just anywhere in Europe, about American football players or soccer players. And, you know, if even though Christian Pulisic is performing, all it takes is a new manager to come in. Same situation as Weston McKennie. He's highly valuable at Juventus, like we just said. Same can occur with Christian Pulisic, that if the manager simply is just not fond of Americans based on culture, or I mean, we already know Pulisic is going to have the support of the fans, as he did so well and was very crucial in their season. So I'm curious to see what happens, but I doubt he'll be on the move this season. And if he is on the move in the future, it's because coach was just not fond of him.
And just hopefully that, you know, the head coach gives him the chance to keep doing what he was doing this past season. But like we said, we'll see you next season whenever it rolls around in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Cameron Carter-Vickers had a great year at Celtic. I saw these, you know, stats posted. 1,975 minutes played, 142 recoveries, 139 duels won, 84 clearances. He won the double. He won the league and the Scottish Cup. All that success, you know, I saw some clips of him playing as well. I mean, man, I feel like he's just an overlooked player whenever it comes to the national team. He only has 16 caps for the national team. Yes, that he's had a kind of a stagnant career before he went to Celtic, but at the same time, like, it's good to have that there, because look at him. I mean, we're going to talk about Tim Ream in a second. He's 36 years old. I personally think that Chris Richards and Cameron Carter-Vickers are going to be the two center backs at the 2026 World Cup, but we'll see, won't we?
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't bet on that. I mean, we already know how Berhalter is and his decision making with our center backs. He's more than likely, or he's more than willing, to play Miles Robinson ahead of Cameron Carter-Vickers. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily bet on it, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Actually, we'll get into it right now. Yeah, so as we said before, the call-ups were released, I think, a week or so ago. I don't know. It's been a while since we did a podcast. We just want to catch everybody up on stuff. We're catching ourselves up on a lot of this stuff, but we just want to put it out there, give our opinions and such things. So we'll go like we usually do: goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, and also the forwards. So starting off, Ethan Horvath. I mean, he's just always in there. He's always going to be our second choice goalkeeper. Surprisingly, Sean Johnson.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too.
At Toronto. I mean, it's a third choice keeper. Let's not argue about it too much. You know what I mean? Just as long as Drake Callender
is not
anywhere near the team sheet at all, I'm fine with it. Because Drake Callender, terrible season. Inter Miami are obviously first in the Eastern Conference, but man, it could be a lot. It could be a lot worse if they didn't have Messi and all those other guys scoring goals. Because he gets bailed out a lot. Matt Turner is obviously our number one. We don't have many other options. Some might say, why was Gagga Sonina not called up? Why are all these other guys not called up? It's because Gaga's not going to play. It's obvious. Matt Turner is our cemented number one goalkeeper.
He's already going to the Olympics.
And he's also going to the Olympics. So it's better for him to play and more than likely start at the Olympics than go to the Copa America with us and not play a single minute. So I prefer it. I'm fine with the goalkeeper situation. I mean, it's not a big debate up in the air. We don't have many, you know, top goalkeepers that we can really choose from. I mean, if we're being honest here. So nothing really to argue about on the goalkeeper front. Now we get into the position players. But
I did want to mention one more thing, actually. Patrick Schulte is also going to the Olympics. So it's going to be a good battle between him and Slonina on who's going to start. And if Gago Slonina starts, I will be very curious to see how he performs just because of how well of a season Patrick Schulte's had. But just FYI, I just want to throw it out there.
Yeah, but yeah, it will be a good battle to see. Alex did say that he's not very excited for the Olympics when he was talking to me in person. I don't understand why. I get the past few, like, I think it was last Olympics.
Are we going to go over soccer Olympics or Olympics in general?
Soccer Olympics.
Okay, soccer Olympics. I thought you were referring to general Olympics.
No,
I don't watch, but soccer Olympics, yes, I'm curious to see what happens.
Okay, as long as we got that,
covered.
Mm-hmm. We're straight on that front. Anyway, let's get into the defenders. Cameron Carter-Vickers, we already talked about him. Christopher Lund, that's an interesting inclusion. I'm not too familiar with his game, I'll be honest with you guys. I can't say much on him. Mark McKenzie, Shaq Moore. Oh my god. Shaq Moore. I totally forgot about it, man. I'm reading through the roster, and then I see that man's name. This isn't the official roster for the Copa America for everybody, but this is just crazy to me that somehow, some way, I get Sergiño Dest is injured, and we need somebody at right back.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, man. Shaq Moore is not the answer. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen that. Just it's not even a meme. It's an actual video on YouTube. You can look it up. It's the worst player from every single national team at the World Cup. And you'll never guess who is ours, the U.S. national team's worst player. It was Shaq Moore. Shaq Moore was put on that list. So I'll let you speak for yourself. His performance at the World Cup also, spoke for itself as well. Shaq Moore's just not very good. Should put it like that. He should be nowhere near the national team. And this is where I believe that there's an MLS quota. Nobody can tell me otherwise, man. MLS quota is real. Shaq Moore proves it. And we'll continue on. You can see other things. Tim Ream.
Tim Ream.
In there. Chris Richards had a decent season at Crystal Palace.
He had a good season.
Anthony Robinson, great season at Fulham. Miles Robinson.
I mean, look, man, I'm telling you, there's a good chance he's going to start. Just because
I know he's going to start.
Yeah, obviously, exactly.
These are friendlies, and I expect him to start and play. So I'm not going to be too critical on it. But whenever the Copa America roster comes out, I know he's going to be on it. We both know he's going to be on it.
Yeah.
But it's just – I don't know. I just feel like we have other options out there, man. We have other options that could possibly play instead of Miles Robinson. But then finally, for the defender section, we got Joe Scally in there, Borussia Mönchengladbach. Obviously, we don't have Sergiño Dest this year because, he got injured while playing for PSV. So right back is kind of shaky. Obviously,
Joe Scally is memorable for his performance against Jamaica, where he did really well. So, but, hopefully we see him do well in the camp.
Yeah, but moving on from the defenders, midfielders, Tyler Adams is in there. I mean, we questioned it whenever the Nations League rolled around about his inclusion, but I mean that banger against Mexico just cemented it. I was like, okay, cool, we can have Tyler Adams in there, whether he wasn't playing for Bournemouth or not. I mean, he produced for us, good for him. Johnny Cardoso, great inclusion right there. I'm very excited. Luca Del Torre hasn't been in the spotlight as of recently. Heard he hasn't been playing a lot for Celta de Vigo. I don't know why. I mean,
I haven't been keeping up with him.
I don't watch a lot of La Liga, so I can't really weigh my, you know, opinion in there. Weston McKennie, obviously, Yunus Musa, Gio Reyna. It's just tough, man. It's just Gio Reyna. His career is just sad right now. Look,
I mean, every time he plays for a national team, though, he performs, and that's all that matters. Look, even exactly. If he's not performing at Nottingham, Dortmund, wherever he's at, as long as he shows up for a national team, like all the other times he has, it'll be fine.
Just want to point out, Gio Reyna did finish runners-up in the Champions League final. He did appear for Dortmund this season in the Champions League, so therefore he gets a medal. So good for them. They probably could have won it with him. Anyway, Malik Tillman, obviously in there. And then we have his brother, Timothy Tillman. Don't know why he's in there.
Dude, it is so random, dude.
That's such a random inclusion from Berhalter to call up Timothy Tillman. I don't know why. Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird. It's like calling up like Brendan Aaronson and Paxton Aaronson. It's like, really?
Yeah, I did see something in like on the website about the buddy system or some crap like that. I don't understand that. Maybe he's just doing it because his brother. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not gonna get onto it because I have no idea. Brendan Aaronson had a terrible season at Union Berlin, but somehow he's still included in our roster.
Just work ethic, man.
Oh yeah, his work ethic. He sucks. Mm-hmm. Speaking of another guy who's had a terrible season, Balogun is on there, but I mean, who else are you gonna leave off? Ricardo Pepi, Christian Pulisic, Josh Sargent is on there. He's now back from injury and he's actually in the team for once, so good for him. Timothy Weah, this is the interesting, this is where we kind of get into the whole lineup situation. Timothy Weah and Haji Wright have been both called up. I saw somewhere that Haji Wright is going to be deployed more as a winger, and then I could possibly see Timothy Weah playing like right wing back, right back. I don't know. That's what he's kind of been doing for Juventus this season, playing at
wing back. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Because, I mean, we called up seven forwards, so someone's got to do something there.
Yes, someone's got to be on the bench, and someone's got to not be on the bench with all those players on the field. I mean, look, if we're looking at our options, we got Christopher Lund, Shaq Moore, and Joe Scally. I'm taking Timothy Weah over all of them at right back, no matter what. Like, yeah, I'd rather him just bolt with pace down the wing and try and create something.
So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this team plays against I'm not really worried about these friendlies coming up. Obviously, they're going to be a test to see how well we compete against teams that are going to be playing in the Copa America, especially Brazil. So that'll be interesting. I'm more excited to look forward to that game. Colombia, I feel like, is going to be
I'm
not saying we're going to be, you know, mowing over Colombia. I do expect us to win. That's just, you know, coming from my perspective on how I kind of judge things.
Have you seen Colombia's results?
I have not. So I'm going to guess that since you're saying that, they've done well.
They have won. Oh, I can't even recall the last time they lost. They haven't lost since a long
name
time.
Name me off some results.
All right. I'll give you last time they played, March 26th. They beat Romania 3-2. That doesn't mean anything to you. They beat Spain, March 22nd, 1-0. Mm-hmm. They beat Colombia 3-2. They beat Brazil 2-1. Colombia beat Brazil 2-1.
This guy.
Colombia beat Uruguay 2-2. Or they tied. Holy crap. But they beat Japan 2-1. So beat Germany 2-0. Like, they have impressive results. So I wouldn't just say they're going to be like a walkover. They're going to be
That's what I said.
I know. But they are going to be a genuine test in the park. I don't really know what to expect. I also anticipate we're going to just throw out a somewhat decent formation and kind of just see if the MLS guys fit. And if not, then we'll just go with a typical roster from there. So
I expect the Colombia game to be a little bit more experimental than the Brazil game. I feel like we'll go with a stronger lineup. So, like I said, we'll see. Colombia versus Brazil, that's next on the USMNT's calendar. But moving on from the national team, let's get into the most depressing club I've ever just watched. Besides Manchester United. Anyway, FC Dallas, man. I don't know what else I could say about them. I feel like every time we do a podcast, or even if I'm on Twitter, I'm always complaining. There's just nothing to be excited about.
No, bro, you're like a little brat.
There's just nothing to be excited about since the Texas Derby.
What do you mean? Okay, well, you have you what? Or you have Peter Musa.
Shut your mouth.
That's exciting.
Anyway, since the Texas Derby, even before the Texas Derby, when we beat Austin 2-1, we tied Houston 1-1. But since then, we have won one game, tied one, and also lost two. Now, that tie stands out very much because we were winning 3-0 against RSL, who are very good. Yeah. I'm just reminiscing on it.
Wait, I can pronounce the timeline if you want.
Oh, sure, man.
So So Dallas scores in like the 49th minute, right before the first half ends, 1-0 Yadamendi, and then Dallas goes up 2-0 in the 57th minute. Dallas goes up 3-0 in the 59th minute. So at the 60th minute, you're 3-0 up. Then in the 61st minute, you go 3-1, or it's 3-1. And then it's 3-2 in the 73rd minute. And then in the 98th minute, it's 3-3 at home.
Terrible. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And, you know, just this game, I'll give RSL credit. The second goal was a banger. I mean, he just cuts it on his right foot and puts it top left past Martin Paz. It was a disgusting goal. The third goal, though, pissed me off the most because our players, okay, I'm just going to paint you the picture. We're defending a one-goal lead. We had a three-goal lead this entire
98th minute.
Well, for 1 minute, we had a three-goal lead. But 90-plus minutes, they have a corner. They send it in. They pass it in front, like on the edge of the box. Our players are jogging. They're just watching the ball just get played right past them and then to a player. And then he just hits it. He just hits it. It's not even a good shot, but there's so much traffic in front of the goal. Martin Paz sees it late, and he goes into the net, and they end up tying 3-3. Most ridiculous performance that I've ever seen from this team. And
I think what was even better about that game wasn't the 3-3 draw, but the reaction from the coaching staff and the players. After the fans, you know, booed, you know, for a good purpose, right? They're like, you went 3-0 up and we tied in the last minute. So you rightfully so boo the team because you're like, well, what the heck? And like you said, jogging out to defend the goal. So I don't know what's going on.
So at what he's referring to is at the end of the game when the full-time whistle is blown, supporters are booing. They're obviously pissed off. We were winning 3-0, and we ended up tying. Just terrible. And our captain, Paul Arriola, and also our head coach, Nico Estevez, were apparently getting mad at the fans. I tried to find, like, clips and stuff like this, so I couldn't – you know, I can't show it to you. But they were just going off what everybody said about the game on Twitter. So that's just disgraceful, first of all. I mean, terrible. It's been a terrible season. We've lost 8 games so far. We've only won 3. It's ridiculous. It's stupid that our players are like, oh, like, you know, the fans shouldn't be booing us. We gave it our all. No, you didn't. You gave up a 3-goal lead, and we're still 12th. We're 12th. We're 7 points behind Portland, who are in the last spot in the playoffs. And remember, we got to play all that stupid, you know, playoff BS to even get into the actual playoffs.
Well, look, there's hope. You have 2 games in hand to catch Portland. So just hope they drop points.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on us to even getting any points. But as I said, following that, we lost to LA Galaxy and we also lost to LAFC.
I mean,
LA Galaxy. Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing, okay? We tied against LA Galaxy. Then everything after that just goes to crap. Just the mentality of these players and also the coaching decisions makes absolutely no sense. I mean, we have the worst offense or one of the worst offenses in the league. We can't score goals. We can't go on goal scoring runs or anything like that. Yes, Houston Dynamo are statistically the worst in the league.
No, third worst. You're second.
Same thing. Anyway. And then, you know, we just go on a terrible run. We're in LA for a whole week, and we just let goals in. Safari gets a red card in the LA Galaxy game. We have to start Omar Gonzalez against LAFC. It's just a terrible It's just terrible overall, man. I can't stand this. And what makes no sense also is that when we were playing against LA Galaxy, we were losing whenever the red card happened, whenever Tafari got sent off for a stupid challenge. I mean, me and you were both watching that game. He was already on a yellow. And he comes flying in and just takes this dude out. And it's, you know, sent off, red card. He's, you know, we're down to 10 men. Nico Estevez then puts on Omar Gonzalez when we're still a goal down. I get that you want to have stability at the back. I get to. You don't have to. That's the thing.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
You're already playing three at the back. Like, you need to put another defender in so you don't, yes, or at least have some stability. If it's four, then yeah, you can go into three.
But I'm just saying, you could change the formation. You could do something else.
To what?
I don't know, man.
A 2-8.
I don't know, something. But we're losing the game at that point late on. Like, who cares? Like, I get it. It would be different, right? If we subbed in an attacker and we were trying to score and then we conceded, I mean, we did concede later on. But there's a difference between, like, just his coaching decisions. Like, in certain circumstances, yes, put on defender so we can, you know, have some stability. But in that case, we need a goal. Put on an attacking player. Change the formation around. I mean, you're playing certain players in weird positions anyway, so why does it matter what position they're playing at? I don't know. But this is just the problem, and I don't understand why the Hunts haven't fired Nico Estevez yet. Even Atlanta fired their head coach. They have a slightly better record than us. They've won one more game, and I think they've tied another. I don't know. Something along those lines. But so far this season, Nashville and Atlanta have both fired their coaches. Yet somehow, some way, FC Dallas haven't even, you know, there's been no rumor. Nobody said, oh, like, Nico Estevez is on the hot seat. He's an overrated coach. He hasn't done anything special since he's got here.
Well, so, look. I think there's still time, right? I know you're gonna roll your eyes, but think about Sporting Kansas City last season and their playoff push.
We're not them.
At the end of the season. They were crap. Them. They're also crap this year, but there's a possibility that you can come back and start stringing some results again. I mean, for you, I don't necessarily know how that's going to look in the next month. I mean,
no, we're not. I don't think that team.
You have two out of four games that you could win. You could beat St. Louis and you could beat Seattle Sounders. St. Louis is only what, like 4 points ahead of you? And then Sounders are, oh crap, how does this understand? I mean, they're 5 points above you. So, I mean, that's all you got, because then the other two are against Minnesota, who are third. So, I mean,
lose those two games more than likely.
Yeah, and then just try your best against the Sounders in St. Louis and get yourself some points.
Basically, what I'm saying is that this team is an absolute disaster class.
Oh, I mean, and then you play Cincinnati after. Dang.
And you spend $9 million on a guy who only has 5 goals so far this season. Jesus only has 2. Delgado has been our only real bright spot. I mean, he scored twice. He also scored against Tampa Bay in the U.S. Open Cup. That's the only positives we have going right now is that we're in the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open Cup. After barely beating Tampa Bay, who were way better than us, by the way. If anybody watched that game, they were all over us. If we didn't have Martin Paz in goal, we would have been screwed. I mean, that was just the collective, like, agreement through both fan bases. So,
all right, hold on.
It's been bad.
Yeah. All right, so you're saying you're having a bad season. I agree. But since you're in the quarterfinal of the Open Cup, I did want to mention it. If you were to win the Open Cup, would you count it as a successful season?
I mean, yeah, it would be our first trophy since 2016. So,
okay,
it would be successful to a point.
To what point?
To
there's no relegation. I mean, you can literally put all focus into the Open Cup and then just go from there.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. It's hard to judge it because, I mean, it's just like our U.S. Open Cup run so far is just like hindered by our performance in the league. That's how I see it. I don't know if anybody else agrees, so let us know if you do. But FC Dallas, man, they don't have any, you know, spirit to them right now. Nico Estevez, terrible. It's gonna be a big summer if we're gonna even push for the playoffs.
We already had a big summer.
No, we had a big winter with one guy that came in that is like you know, supposed to be our number one. We can't even support him, man. He just runs around. He just runs around. He tries to get the ball. He's dropping back all the like Jesus Ferreira did last season. He's just dropping back to get touches. I mean, he's not touching the ball. We're not giving him support. Yes, he has not exactly been in the greatest of form as of late, especially against RSL. Missed many chances to score. But at the same time, other players need to step up. Other players need to start scoring goals or contributing somehow, some way. Because it can't just be Musa Allen is lonesome, Jesus Ferreira trying, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, or and Martin Posch just preventing us from losing every game by, you know, 17 goals. So that's my little rant on FC Dallas. A lot needs to happen in the summer if we're going to push like later on into, you know, the playoffs and get into the postseason and such. But I don't expect it. FC Dallas fans, we're in for a long, long, long rest of the year. But let's move on to the Houston Dynamo. How are you guys doing?
Look, man, what do you think? How do you think we're doing? I want to know your perspective.
Where do you guys sit right now? That's the real question.
We're seventh.
You're seventh right now. Besides you guys just being the most boring team to watch, I mean, you're doing fine. I mean, like I said, it really does this part, besides like not getting into the playoffs, really matter? Because let's be honest, Supporter Shield has been agreed upon that it just doesn't mean anything. MLS Cup is, you know, the only thing that really matters in this league.
Yeah.
So look, you guys, man, are fine right now, I feel like. I mean,
we're fine. Right. But this is a very mediocre season compared to last season. And our position in the table clearly speaks it, right? We've won six games, we've drawn four, and we've lost six. I think the disappointing part is we've lost as many games as we've had. And you say we're boring, and I rightfully agree, because if we were truly boring, we would draw more games. And I wish we did that more rather than just lose. I mean, it's easier said than done. But, yeah, I mean, we only have 22 points. We're tied with Colorado, who are eighth right behind us. We have a game in hand compared to everyone else. The only, you know, people who sit above us are Austin, Vancouver, L.A., Minnesota, LAFC, and RSL. I expect we should have a better season than Austin. Just because of how well we did last season, you know, like I said, we won the Open Cup. We couldn't get past Detroit. That was very frustrating, and they got knocked out by a USL team, so that was even more frustrating. And then, you know, just kind of the sequence of events that are going on with the team. You know, I'll give you our last five results. We lost 1-0 to Austin, which I was there for, unfortunately. And, you know, to concede at the very end of the game was very frustrating. And the players come out and even say they don't like losing to Austin. You know, they also recognize it's a derby, and I'm glad they do. But at some point, we need to start getting more points from them. And then we tie you 1-1. That was not a fun game to watch. And then we lose to Galaxy. I think me and you both agree the Galaxy is a good team. It's not uncommon to lose to them. And then, you know, we start getting back on the right track, where we beat Colorado 3-1. Andrew Tarbell did amazing in goal. And then we just drew 2-2 to Portland away from home. And for us, it's very difficult to get points away from home. So I don't necessarily mind it. We had a great performance, especially with the form that Evander, the form that Evander is in right now. I was very happy to leave with a draw. It was a very competitive game. Although we both sit, you know, flat in the middle of the Western Conference, it was a very fun and entertaining game that I hope we can start building upon. And next we play Atlanta United, but that's not until another like 2 weeks after the little international friendlies go on. So I'm hoping we're able to put in more work. I'm glad we're out of the Open Cup, because I really wanted to start focusing more on league form, and I want the league to take us more seriously. Although that's going to take a long time, I wish we prioritized it more in the, earlier in the season. So we got League's Cup coming up soon. That's not until late July. So we'll see what happens. I genuinely don't know what to expect.
Man, you need a goal scorer. That's what I feel like from your games, man. It's just like, I don't know what's going on with Sebastian Ferreira. I mean, some people say he's injured. Some other people say he's not. So I don't know. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe him and Ben Nilsson just don't like each other. That's what
he's very much injury prone. I mean, on the first game in against St. Louis, he got injured, right? And I don't really know what's going on there. I don't know if he is continuously getting injured, or I don't know how bad it was. But we've been playing Kowalczyk as a false nine, and he was not doing good for like the start of the season. And it wasn't until Colorado and Portland, as I just mentioned, and where we picked up results, he's found the back of the net. And for me, I feel like that long, hard work is hopefully starting to pay off. And if he can start finishing and making the right runs and being a lot more beneficial for the team, then I'll take it. But I'm like you. I feel like we need a big summer transfer window that won't come until July, so next month. So I really don't know what to expect from this team. I don't know how Ben Olsen is going to approach the summer transfer window if we get rid of Coco Kareskia, because he's also came out and said he wants to go to Europe, which if he wants to, I'm sure there's a club that will want him. So we really do need some more reinforcements. And I'm sure if you watch any of our games and you see one of our players come off the bench, you're always like, who is that guy? no one knows. And so we don't have prominent players off the bench that we can really come in, besides Latif Blessing, but he hasn't done very well this season. I at least think he's done well. Other fans think he's kind of like a burden. But we'll see. It's gonna be a long season. I don't expect us to
very do long season.
Yeah, and boring.
Yep. It's going to be a long season for both. It's going to be a long season for FC Dallas. Houston, I feel like they'll be fine. Just to give you some what's going on with the table, Inter Miami, obviously, first in the East, Cincinnati second. New York City came back. They were not very good at the start of the season, but now they are third in the table over their rivals, the New York Red Bulls, or the New Jersey Red Bulls, as a lot of people like to call them. Mm. And then the Western, RSL, LAFC, Minnesota, shocker. Kind of surprising, honestly, LA Galaxy, and then just goes so on and so on. Not really much to really talk about in that regard, because the tables kind of remain the same the past few weeks. So who knows? But as we were talking about earlier, when it came to the summer transfer window that it opens up on in July, I think it's July 18th or something like that, there's a lot of players that are being linked to the MLS. And one of those, U.S. national team player Tim Ream is linked. Actually, it's reported that he's very close to signing with Charlotte FC. Very weird. I don't understand that. Especially since he's from St. Louis, I would have, guessed that he would have probably gone to St. Louis SC. But I don't know. I guess he sees something.
With Charlotte. There's a bigger name I thought you would have mentioned.
I was going. I have a list, man. I have a list of players.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm just going through them. So Tim Ream to Charlotte. Another one. Very surprising. Marco Royce to LA Galaxy. Was that who you're talking about?
No. There's a bigger one.
Okay. So Marco Royce to LA Galaxy. It's very interesting because LA Galaxy don't have any other DP spots. So they reportedly said that it's going to be through like sponsorship. It's going to be kind of in the same realm.
Like Messi.
Yeah, like Messi. So that would be interesting.
Can provide that impact, though?
I don't know.
I he just played a Champions League final, but as soon as he came on, Danny Carvajal scored. So I don't really know how much influence he's got there. But
he's still a good player. He's very injury prone, though. So I don't know how well of a deal this is for LA Galaxy. It just feels like it's a retirement move.
Yeah, it's a top 10 football respect moment, bring him to LA and just give him a little clap when he comes off the field.
I feel like he will still be a good player for LA Galaxy if he were to come. I mean, they're fourth right now, and they're obviously going to be pushing for the MLS Cup. So who knows? We'll see how that does. Then another player that I wanted to touch on was Irving Lozano is very, very close to signing for San Diego. I still have a couple more, man.
All right, go ahead.
Jeez, this guy.
That one is wild, though. I can't believe he's going to San Diego. L3 is really taking an L.
And Irving Lozano is reportedly going to make between $7 million and $8 million, which will make him top five most paid guys in the MLS. Do I think he's worth that? I mean, maybe. This kind of feels like a Carlos Vela situation. Both players you know, come from Europe, both Mexican, and they're going to a team in California. So, and they're both going to be like the first player that has ever been signed by both teams. San Diego already has two signings, but they're not as important or on the same level that this would be for San Diego. So that's interesting. Sergio Ramos to San Diego. We've touched on that before. $12 million per year is the reported, salary for him. So, geez, I mean, San Diego's going out there. San Diego is going out there and trying to sign the biggest and best players that they can, trying to get a lot more attraction to them. So good for them. I don't know who you're. I have two more players on this list that I have
that aren't bigger or as big as Sergio Ramos.
One of them might be.
All right, just go ahead.
Nacho Fernandez to Inter Miami is reportedly going to happen. Really? Inter Miami do need a center back. He's been linked with them. I don't know how far it is into that. They do need a center back. I don't know how they're going to do it with their rules, but you know what? Miami likes breaking them. Yeah, you gotta pay attention a little more, man. That's all it is. Nacho Fernandez, Inter Miami. They do need a center back. Like I said, they need all the help they can at the back.
Yeah, at the back, they do.
Their defenders suck. So does their goalkeeper. Another Miami one is Di Maria.
There you go. Yeah.
Save the best one for last.
Yeah.
Di Maria reportedly wants to go to Inter Miami, but it's kind of weird. He wouldn't join them until next season because Miami has to get rid of some players. So one of them might be Capana. He might get traded. Who knows what's going to happen? He might leave Inter Miami. He's just been kind of their, you know, their backup striker to Luis Suarez, but he's pitching in with a couple of goals so far this season. So it's going to be interesting. All these big names coming over. There's other ones, but they're not really official. Memphis Depay, possibly. Somewhere, someone said Lukaku to Cincinnati, which is the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati has, their heads have gotten a little too big.
Olivier Giroud has joined LAFC, so that'll be an interesting move as well. I mean, they already have Bawanga. I don't know what else you need. I don't know.
Hopefully Houston is in talks with at least one of these players you mentioned.
They're not.
You know, we're not linked with anyone. As much hope as I had in Hector Herrera, like having contacts and being able to like talk to people and be like, oh yeah, come to Houston. That has not worked at all.
You guys should have went for Lozano when you could have, because San Diego's. I mean, you guys don't. I don't think you guys have that money to pay.
I don't think we do
Lozano
either.
That. So
we barely have a team. If we can barely,
exactly
pay a team, then I don't know who we can even bring in. So
yeah, but that's just a list of the names that possibly might join the MLS soon. Besides Tim Ream and Lozano, all these other ones are just rumors. So we'll see if they even happen. But that is going to be it from us today, guys. We will be back again after the next match day to talk to you. Hopefully, maybe it won't be such a long wait for our next podcast because, we're not very consistent.
Well, we have something exciting that we're going to be doing the next podcast. What is that, Alec?
I have no idea.
we're going to be together for our
us both together for our next podcast.
Yes,
we still got to get some equipment and stuff like that, but we'll see how it works out. It's going to be our first little
test. We'll
both
be on I-10.
All right, bro. You don't need to keep like exposing where I possibly live. Okay. I'm just gonna bleep it out. I can't be having that. I can't have people trying to figure out where I live if there's people even dedicated to know. But like I said, guys, we'll be back. Talking so much, man. We will be back next week to cover the MLS and other such things. We will also be touching up to see if any of these rumors actually come true, because I'm excited to see. I kind of want Sergio Ramos to go to San Diego. I think that'll be interesting. Will I get his jersey? Probably not, but I'll watch his games. Mm-hmm. But anyway, guys, this is going to be From the Stands podcast, and we should catch you guys next time.
See you.